Hello everyone, and welcome to another exclusive Diva Dirt interview. With Shimmer coming up this weekend, it's only appropriate that I have this interview with the first ever Shimmer champion and the queen of wrestling. Sara Del Rey is with us. How are you?
I'm fantastic. Living my glorious life, changing litter and getting ready to go to the gym.
Sounds exciting.
Oh yeah.
Well, you've accomplished a lot in your career as of now, but I want to go back to the beginning real quick. So I just want to ask, when did you decide that you wanted to be a pro wrestler?
After graduating high school, I tried going to college, and I didn't really, like, I had no interest, or I didn't want to, like, I did not like the school environment, first off. And then to, like, be in this environment you don't like and work towards something you don't know, like, what you want to do. So I was like, I'll just try something completely crazy and, like, do this wrestling thing. But, like, I didn't know that it was a job or that these people got paid good or that people, like, thought they can just go be wrestlers and make a lot of money. Like, on the first day of training, they gave this big speech and they were like, if you're here for the money, you're in it for the wrong reasons. I was like, whoa, you get paid for this. Like, I was blown away. So I, like, kind of started to do it as a hobby and was lucky enough to do it for a career the past 10 years.
Well, speaking of the actual training, you kind of jumped in with both feet, it seems. And were you an athlete before you decided to go into training for wrestling, or did you just jump right in?
I consider myself a sporty type athlete. Like, I think if I applied myself, which is really funny because that's something like teachers say, but really I was super lazy in school and stuff like that. Like, I was a big slob. So, like, I've always been into sports and liked sports, and, like, I played softball and stuff, but I was just lazy about it and fell into kind of the wrong crowd. So I think I would have been an athlete if I wasn't lazy.
So what was actually the actual training like when you first started?
It was really, really, really hard. Like, I was the only girl in my class, and I'm like, the classes were really big because I started training at All Pro Wrestling, and I never saw Beyond the Mat, but it was around, I mean, it was within a few years of that movie coming out, which I think, like, drove a lot of people to go train at that school. So it was a huge class of, like, 30. They actually broke it up into two classes, and I was the only girl, and, like, really the only girl at the school. Cheerleader Melissa would come up from L.A. and do shows and stuff, but she wasn't really in the school yet. Like, later on, after maybe a year or so of me training there, she came, moved up, and would train there too. But it was really, really hard because there was one girl who did it before, but the guys would always, you know, talk bad about her. Like, she was just here to be a girl and, you know, in the scene with a bunch of guys and, like, you know, just let herself flop all around and, like, you know, not train as hard and think she'd get away with it. And I was like, oh, I'm going to earn these guys respect. So, like, I just did everything they did. I tried my absolute hardest. Like, I never was like, I can't do that. I'm just a girl. Like, I never took that approach, even though I probably would have saved my body a lot of punishment in the beginning. But, I mean, I eventually won the respect, and I think that's more important than anything.
Yeah. Well, training with a full class of males, did they take it easier on you because you were female, or did they, you know, treat you like one of the boys, so to speak?
They didn't take it easy on me. Like, I had to do everything else the guys did. And, but, like, I don't know, maybe they did take it easy on me because I remember them always telling me, like, you need to toughen up. And, like, one day, the trainer, Donovan Morgan, was like, I'm going to put the boxing gloves with you on. So I don't know if they were kind of taking it easy on me, but I did everything all the guys did. Like, we started with a mile run, all the squats and push-ups and all the conditioning stuff. And we used to have to do these crazy bumps. Like, the first few weeks, like, you just learned bumps and you'd have to, like, go up to the second rope and jump off backwards. And, like, I don't know, it may sound easy, but, like, it was crazy. Cause the second class, the guys couldn't do it. Like, the first class was so much more ahead because they were stuck on that. They couldn't get it right. And I was like, I'm not going to be put in the second class or hold the first class up because of it, you know. So mm-hmm. Getting up there and doing everything the guys did. And,
well,
So I don't think they took it easy on me.
Well, correct me if I'm wrong, but you've done some training with Brian Danielson, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Yeah.
And what was that experience like?
It was really, really, really great. Like, I hadn't debuted yet, but I had been through the course because I think they had, like, I think it was 3 months. You'd learn, like, your bombs to your amateur, how to protect yourself, like, some, like, holds and reversals and that kind of stuff, but nothing like hitting the ropes or anything like that. Like, that was all advanced. So it was just in the transition where I was going into the advanced, so where, like, I knew how to do a lot of stuff, but I couldn't put it, any of it together, and I had no idea about, like, having a match or anything like that. So he really worked with me. I really, really, really loved Japanese women and English and just, like, mat wrestling and technical type stuff, and, I mean, he's the master of that. So I think it might have been fun for him, too, to see someone, like, at the time, now kind of a lot of people are into that, but at the time, you know, a lot of the guys just wanted to be Jeff Hardy and learn, you know, swantons and things like that. So it was amazing to get to pick his brain about that, the technical side of wrestling.
What's it like seeing him now and where he's at in the business? You know, he's in WWE now. He's a former U.S. champion. What's it like seeing him on that big of a stage?
It doesn't surprise me because, like, he's phenomenal talent, and, I mean, I think he should have been there sooner and been in even bigger matches than he is now, but I think he's done great in WWE. The biggest shock to me is that he's so tan. I've never seen him that tan. Like, whoa.
Oh, wow. So, you also did a lot of training over in Mexico as well as Japan. What's the wrestling scene like compared to America, especially for women?
In both of those countries, it's just respected, like, or maybe it was a language barrier. Maybe they were yelling out cat calls and I just didn't get it. But, like, you just felt this, like, sense of respect for the actual sport and the performance and what we were in the ring doing and representing. As opposed to here, you kind of, well, sometimes not so much anymore because with Shimmer and these promotions doing a serious take on women's wrestling, but, you know, they just kind of treat you like a side act or whatever, just there for, you know, DNA or not to be a serious athlete. So there you really got the sense and the feeling of, like, this is a sport, it's taken seriously, I'm going to present myself seriously, train hard, work hard, and, you know, the fans respected that, and it was awesome.
Well, you mentioned Shimmer, and I know myself, the first time I ever saw a Sarah Del Rey match was on a Shimmer DVD. How were you first approached about the idea behind Shimmer? Because at that point, there wasn't many all-female promotions. This was kind of like a new venture in terms of independent wrestling. How was the idea presented to you at first?
I can't remember if it was Dave Prazak or Allison Danger that first approached me, but, I mean, one of the two of them contacted me, and I had already known Dave from working with him at IWA Mid-South and just knowing, like, what a huge wrestling fan he was, and that he did a lot for the women's division there in that promotion. And, you know, he had the idea and the passion, and I was just stoked to be part of it. I had done girl shows before, and then, you know, in Mexico and Japan with all the girls' promotions, but I didn't really think that, like, Shimmer would be something so special and last so long and have such a huge influence on women all over the world.
Well, you actually ended up being the first woman to hold the Shimmer Championship when it was introduced into the promotion. What was it like to represent Shimmer as a champion on, you know, such a high level?
It was really, really, really exciting. Like, I was really proud, and I felt honored to be the first champion in like, wrestling such a crazy business, right? Like, you hear all these things, you know, people sleeping their way to the top of politics and all that kind of stuff. And, like, I just knew the route I took and the hard work that I put in, and I thought, like, this is the perfect, like, representation of all my hard work, and, like, you don't have to take shortcuts and, you know, be not honored, but you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I'm struggling for the right word, but you know what I'm saying. So I was really proud, and I was proud of all the matches throughout the tournament, and being the first Shimmer champion, I was just really, really humbled and honored, and it was a really, really cool thing. And, like, I don't know, like, that's the first ever. Like, I could always say that. Like Booker T, you know?
Yeah,
he could always claim to be, like, the 10-time or whatever WCW champion, like.
Exactly.
I could always claim to be the first Shimmer champion.
So, during your run in Shimmer, well, you're still in your run in Shimmer, actually, but what are some of your favorite matches or opponents?
Oh, man. I was a really huge fan of wrestling with Lacey. She was an incredible talent. I don't think she got as much credit as she deserved because she was just phenomenal, and I think Shimmer and Everywhere is just really, really, really missing her skills in the ring and on the mic and just as a performer. Like, she was just awesome. So Lacey, I've had a lot of my favorite matches with, or matches I look back and I think, like, yeah, that was fun, or that kind of thing. Obviously, Ayako and Mercedes, my match with Natty Neidhart, and teaming with Allison Danger. Like, there's just a lot of, I have a lot of fond memories of pretty much all my Shimmer stuff.
Well, you lost the Shimmer Championship to Mischief quite a few volumes ago. And since then, I've noticed that you've taken a kind of a backseat from the title picture. You've been working a lot more with the younger and newer talent, such as Rachel Summerlin, Jesse McKay, Tennille. Are there any newer members of the roster that you're hoping to work with on the upcoming tapings?
No, I don't really care. I just like to get in the ring with different people and learn different things. You know, even, like you said, they were younger talents. They still had, like, so much to offer and so much to teach me in terms of performance and that kind of thing. So, I mean, I just love to wrestle anyone. I had a dream that I had a 30-minute match last night with Lorelai Lee. And I was really stoked because, not that that's a big challenge or anything, but, like, if you Google Sarah Del Rey or YouTube, that's the first match that comes up, and it was so quick and short, and I just think it would be, like, an awesome challenge to do 30 minutes with her. Like, I don't know, I just want to be in the ring and do it, I guess, you know?
Yeah. Well, speaking of some of the younger talents, you're a veteran to the business, not only in Shimmer, but in general. When you see some of the newer girls coming in, what do you really look for someone, you know, just coming into the business or just coming into a promotion like Shimmer?
Look for in terms of what, like, I'm not the judge of, you know, like, I don't want to judge people or say, like, oh, this girl's horrible or whatever, but, I mean, to make an impression on me, I think maybe I am a hard cookie to crack because I think girls especially just need to present themselves in such a different way than guys, and I just think respect for women athletes is, bottom line, the most important. I think respect and then your, you know, skill and ability and, you know, so forth and so on, but, like, the respect, so it's the way you present yourself to the fans, to the locker room and a female locker room and around the male wrestlers, like, so, I don't know, so the first thing I look for, the first thing that would probably turn me off to a wrestler, or just think, like, is their attitude or the way they present themselves.
Well, aside from Shimmer, you actually been a big part of ROH's women's division. How's it been working with Ring of Honor over the last couple of years?
It's been super cool. When I first got there, like, just being a manager was completely different and a little, like, I mean, it was just, I never trained to be a manager or anything like that, and then there weren't wrestling opportunities every show, so just being able to go out there and do that and be in a locker room with such talented people and just to see the production of it all and be part of it is really, really, really special, and now, like, I love it. Being a manager, going out with the Kings of Wrestling, it's awesome, and just getting to see how they, you know, do things and before and after the match and all that kind of stuff. Like, I feel really fortunate for my spot. And I think now, 2011, there's going to be a real, a bigger focus on women's wrestling. So I look forward to that and being a part of that. And, yep.
Well, that kind of leads right into my next question, because Ring of Honor actually has a really small women's division when you compare it to promotions like WWE or TNA. But, you know, there have been some new people showing up, such as Mia Yim just debuted. At the next IPPV, you have some of the girls, the Joshi girls from Ibuki coming over, like Hiroyu Matsumoto. Anyone in particular you'd like to see brought in or you'd like to face on Ring of Honor?
I think they're doing an excellent job bringing in talent. I've gotten to team with Serena Deeb, and I've wrestled Amazing Kong several times for Ring of Honor, so I think they do a really good job of bringing in talent. So whatever they want to do, I think Medium's a great addition, and I really look forward to the WrestleMania weekend with the Japanese girls that you mentioned coming in, too. It's just, I think right now it's a really good time to highlight actually what we can do.
Definitely. Well, Ring of Honor actually just lost its TV deal not so long ago, and they're going off the air later on. Well, it's actually next month. Do you think it'll affect the company in as a whole, as well as the women's division?
I don't think so. I never got HDNet. Like, I got my matches and whatnot emailed to me, the shows. So, I enjoyed watching them, but I never got it on my TV. So it was like, you know, the tree falls in the wood, doesn't make a sound. Like, I never got to see it on TV, so I'm not really missing out on it. And I think it was a really great experience because a lot of us didn't have TV experience. And so just getting to learn different things and being able to sit in the production truck and watch how it's done and shot and what they look for and that kind of thing, it was all a really great learning experience. And I think having that experience will open the door for other bigger things. So I don't think it's a big blow to Ring of Honor or anything. I think it probably frees us up to do more things. I'm excited for the future, what Ring of Honor can do.
Well, moving away from Ring of Honor, you're actually facing, in Ohio, if I'm not mistaken, you're facing Mickie James next month on April 2nd, correct?
Correct.
So the promotion actually billing this as the first time you and Mickie have stepped in a ring against each other. So, what are your thoughts about going into this match, you know, not having faced Mickie before?
I am so excited because when Brian first came to APW training, I think it was like 2003 maybe, he was already regularly working Ring of Honor. You know, he's telling me, like, there's a girl and you guys would do great together, blah, blah, blah. And it was Alexa Soray, who was Mickie James. And so I've always, like, you know, kind of followed her career, you know, felt that, like, you know, a connection to her in some sort. And then,
yeah.
I mean, obviously on TV, she was one of the best girls up there and, you know, even on TNA. So I'm really, really looking forward to it. I've only met her once, so I think we're going to have a lot of fun in the ring together.
Well, now to move to something a bit more mainstream for the some of the listeners listening to this interview.
Oh, God, we're not talking about Snooki, are we?
Oh, God, I would never like to talk about Snooki on any occasion.
Okay.
But it might get there. Let's see. What are your thoughts on the state of women's wrestling as it stands in more mainstream promotions such as WWE and TNA at this point? Because I know you've been vocal about it in the past. So for those who may have not heard your statements, what are your thoughts on how women's wrestling is being run?
To tell you the truth, I don't watch TNA, so I could only really give my opinion on WWE. And I think I give them credit because they have a women's match on every show, right? And they try and put a women's match on pay-per-view. And for a while, they were really, you know, pushing Natty and doing all these things. But now I think, like, gosh, they have Kong under contract. And, like, they have Natty, they have Gail Kim. Like, why are these girls not wrestling on TV? Like, last night, I think it was Maurice and Eve. Like, I don't want to see that. And I don't even know what the hell they were doing the first few seconds. So I got to turn it off. I don't know what's going on. Like, I think these girls, I give them so much credit, you know, to even get in the ring, because if I were them, as pretty as they are, you know, like, I wouldn't want to take the risk of my health and body and, like,
mm-hmm.
that kind of thing, you know, so I give them tons of respect, and I know they're trying, and it's harder, you know, like, I've had 10 years experience, so of course, like, if I go on TV, I'll probably be more polished, hopefully more polished in the ring than some of them, so it's not really fair to judge them on their ability. They're just kind of put in a real crappy position, but hopefully it will change because they have all the right talent. And I mean, it's just all about the fans vocalizing what they want from women's wrestling. And I think, like, you, Diva Dirt, you know, does a great job for that, just giving the fans of women's wrestling a voice.
Oh, thank you. Well, you actually brought up the match from last night. I want to just talk a bit about that. I don't know if you noticed, but during the middle of the match, Michael Cole stood up and completely interrupted the match, and this is not the first time this happened. And, you know, it kind of made kind of an outcry from the women's wrestling fans because, you know, it's a show of disrespect pretty much for the women that are in the business. You know, they're, like you said, they're doing the best they can with what they have, and, you know, they're not even respected within a company. How'd you feel when you saw that?
I didn't see that last night. I saw it when it happened a few weeks ago, and I was confused because they just kept going about their business like nothing was happening. So it was just all really weird. I think Michael Cole, I understand what they're trying to do with him, but I think, like, in this day and age of sports entertainment, wrestling, whatever you want to call it, like, I have so many options of things I want to watch and be entertained by. And the heel, like, guy that annoys me, like, I'm not wasting my time, you know? Like, he doesn't make me want to see him get beat up or anything. Like, I want to not watch your station, and I don't think that's what they're going for, what they should be going for. But, you know, if it's all an angle and maybe it leads to Kong debuting and beating him up, then it's all for great reason. But, I mean, it's the same with, like, the big, long heel promos. Like, I don't care. I don't want to watch you talking, especially if I don't like you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, there's just too many other forms of entertainment for me.
Let me tell you, you should work for the WWE creative team, because Awesome Kong being up Michael Cole sounds like the best idea ever. I would watch that.
I know, me too.
Well, I know I said I wasn't going to talk about her, but, you know, I have to bring this up. A couple of weeks ago, they announced that Snooki would be at WrestleMania in a match, and I've seen everyone from fans to wrestlers, you know, there are people who are really for it, there are people who are strongly against it. So what are your thoughts about somebody like Snooki, a non-wrestler, being brought in on the grand stage of them all?
I mean, they do it all the time, right? Every WrestleMania has a star outside of wrestling come in and kind of have a match and get in the ring. I was only bothered by... I think she sent out a tweet that said, you know, she's been looking forward all week to this. And, like, really? I've been looking forward 10 years for this. And, like, I still don't have the opportunity. And I just don't understand why, like, I love pro wrestling. And I've done everything I can to try and make it to this point and to be in that position. And it just kind of sometimes seems like an impossible battle. Like, you know, they're not looking for pro wrestlers or athletes or anything like this. Like, I should have gone to modeling. Like, I should have gotten to, you know, some other sort of entertainment if I wanted to be on that stage. That's how it kind of feels. But, I mean, I'm sure the guys feel like that all the time because there's constantly, you know, football players or people with amateur backgrounds being brought in and being put on TV and getting these spots and positions that, I mean, I see people on the independent scene killing themselves for. So I really can't complain. I think they wanted the publicity and the, you know, TMZ reports, and they got it, so that's cool. But I don't know. Maybe they'll sell more pay-per-view buys, and I'm sure her role's going to be limited. But it just kind of, like, it just hurts to know that, like, I don't know. It's frustrating because there's no route to take to get there. You know?
Well, WWE, WWE actually relaunched Tough Enough, and I know a lot of independent workers that I spoke with sent in applications and were trying to get, trying to get into WWE that route. Was that something you were actually interested in?
Yeah, like, they had the casting thing where you can vote and that kind of stuff, but I had a friend who knew the casting director, so she contacted me personally. But they, like, she talked to me and made it seem like all you have to do is send your stuff in your book, so I was just like, oh, okay, like, not that I half-assed it or anything, but I just kind of sent in a video and was like, oh, I'm in. Like, you know, she called me, and she even called to follow up, and then I heard nothing. So I was like, oh, man, maybe I should have, like, been more eager or something like this. But if it, I mean, it didn't work out. It wasn't meant to be. I'm not going to cry about it or anything like that. I was even more bummed when I heard that Stone Cold was the one of the trainers. But originally, I thought Regal was going to be a trainer, and that would have probably bummed me out more. So
yeah. Well, I mean,
I don't know. I think everything happens for a reason.
It's confusing because, like you said, like, you were contacted personally, and I know a lot of other, I know Mercedes Martinez, we spoke to her, and she said she was contacted. I know Lizzie Valentine also said, you know, they reached out to her. They reached out to a lot of independent people, but not a lot made the cut, which is just
right?
confusing. I know Matt Cross made the roster, and some people from FCW, actually, who were already contracted, were released from the contracts just to be in Tough Enough. So it's just odd that they would reach out to all these people to not use them, you know?
Yeah. But what can you do? I think they just wanted a big, huge variety. Like, I don't know.
Well, speaking of the people who made the cut, I know Miss USA, Rima Paqui, made the cut, and a lot of people were kind of miffed about that. She was actually the first competitor announced. Did you have any thoughts on her being a part of Tough Enough?
No.
No? Really?
It, like, doesn't surprise me anymore, you know what I mean? Like, so many girls have gotten chances or gotten signed, and, like, I say this all the time. Like, every time someone gets signed, you know, it's a little headline, and I go and I'll, like, Google them, and it's a girl squatting down in a bikini, and you're like, oh, okay. Like, so it doesn't surprise me, like, a Miss America type would be chosen for that. I'm sure she's got a good story or whatever. Like, I feel bad even judging it, and it's hard because I am in the position where, like, I have to compare myself to them, you know? So I do kind of have to judge them, but I don't know. It's like, I'm sure there's so much more that I don't know or, you know, what they need, why they're cast, and so on and so forth. So I feel like a jerk judging them, but.
Okay, well, moving away from WWE, I know you say you don't watch TNA, but you did have a match at a TNA house show, if I'm not mistaken, last year.
Mm-hmm.
And I know in an interview you had said that they wanted you to have, and there's a quote, more what the beautiful people have. What were your thoughts on that?
Well, that wasn't really at the tryout. So I'm the Jersey All-Pro Women's Champion, and they have a working relationship with TNA, and they help promote their house shows when they come to the area. So they put me on the shows. I did one a few years ago. In New Jersey, and then the scouts also come to the Jersey All-Pro shows, and so it was actually at a Jersey All-Pro show, one of the scouts, I won't name his name, but we were watching the show, and he was just like, yeah, you know, you just need more of what the beautiful people have, and I'm like, yeah.
What do you think he meant when he said that?
Obviously, my first thought was like, you know, enhancements, but I mean they do have a lot of charisma, they're good on the mic and that kind of stuff. Never really saw me in that situation, so maybe he was saying I need enhancements, but I don't know. They're really good at what they do. They are really good at what they do, so maybe I do need more of what they have.
But see, the thing with TNA is that, you know, at one point they had a large variety of girls who were all different and had different styles and different personalities, and that's what kind of made TNA what it was, the Knockouts division, as good as it was and made people love them. But, you know, now they're kind of falling into that WWE trap where, you know, all the girls are kind of starting to melt into each other with a few exceptions.
Right.
So, yeah, that kind of sucks that's what they're looking for now.
Yeah, I mean, I think their product's suffering because of it, but
definitely.
All I can do is not watch, and I hope you all do the same.
Yeah, well, we talked about your experience in the business, and you are 10 years into the business. You're a veteran in the wrestling world. Has the idea ever occurred to you that you wanted to, you know, train other girls to, you know, or not even just girls, just train and, you know, get other people into the business?
No.
Never?
Well, no, I don't. Like, I think I could, and I could probably do a decent job, but I don't want someone going out there and saying they were trained by me and be a total, complete, like, muck-up, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I don't want some doof out there. Like, so if they want to be trained by me, it would, I don't know, it'd have to be like different circumstances. It wouldn't just be like, hey, now I'm going to start training people, because I don't know. I, like, my reputation is really all I have.
Yeah. Well, we mentioned this earlier with Shimmer coming up next weekend. You're going to have a big weekend, and I know you don't know who your opponents are just yet, or maybe you can't tell, but for someone who's going to the Shimmer show for the first time, never seen a Sarah Del Rey match, what can they expect to see from you?
I don't know. That's a really good question. What can they expect? Why don't you tell me?
Well, from what I've seen in the past from the Shimmer tapings, I've been to a lot of hard-hitting matches, a lot of great matches. Like, I must say, your match with Ayako Hamada a couple of volumes back was fantastic. It's possibly one of the best matches, at least top five, I've seen in promotion. So a lot
of
a lot of great matches. I can't say enough how much I enjoy your work in the ring. But now I'm
gushing. Thank you. I just strive to be different and bring something different to the shows. Like, it is a ton of wrestling that these people are seeing, and, you know, to make yourself stand out or be something different, I think is really, really important. So that's what I try and do, and have fun as well while I'm out there. And fortunately for me, beating people up is fun.
Well, while we're on this topic of Shimmer, before we wrap things up, ever since Shimmer debuted 5 years ago, and, you know, you were in that first show, you've been there from the very beginning, ever since, a bunch of women's promotion have popped up. You have Eve in England. You have Femme Fatales over in Canada. You have WSU running on the East Coast. And they've kind of taken that same model that Shimmer, you know, initially had and ran with it. Do you think that promotions like this are kind of improving the reputation of women's wrestling as a whole?
I'd like to say yes. I haven't seen much of the promotions, but I really feel like, you know, it just takes one bad seed or one girl to, like, be derogatory, and it just brings us all down, you know what I mean? So,
yeah.
I mean, I hope none of that's going on. If we can just keep on the path of being serious professional athletes, I think we're doing good. Hopefully the times don't change and people want to go back to seeing puppies and bra and panties matches and that kind of stuff. Because then I think it'll bring it down for everyone everywhere.
Definitely. So I think that pretty much wraps things up with you, Sarah. Thank you so much for taking the time out. Once again, Shimmer is coming up this weekend. And you can still buy tickets if you don't have any. There's general admission tickets available at shimmerwrestling.com. And the tapings are taking place in Berwyn, Illinois at the Berwyn Eagles Club for volumes 37 through 40. And you can definitely pick up your tickets and support independent women's wrestling. Sarah, before you go, do you have any last words for your fans and followers here at Diva Dirt?
Yeah, you can all follow me on Twitter at SDRPYOO. That's SDRPYOO. I just found out yesterday Michael Cole has more followers than me, and
oh,
I was like ready to shoot myself because I can't believe people would rather. I'm just appalled. I'm appalled, really, people. We need to fix this, make it right, make the world a better place. So follow me on Twitter if you're interested in my dates, appearances, my shop, all that can be found on sarahdelrey.com. And that's about it. I hope to see all of you guys at Shimmer or other places.
And thank you so much, Sarah.
Thank you.